Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans, and welcome to episode 120 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. I'm your host, back after a week off. Wasn't really planning on taking a week off, but it just kind of happened that way with Thanksgiving and stuff and everyone getting back from Uruguay. Just didn't have the time to get an interview lined up. Got kind of caught in a little weird spot in time there, but we're back this week, back in action, going to close out the year strong. And we're going to do that by jumping into this breakdown. The breakdown is brought to you by O'Neill's. O'Neill's is the official sportswear supplier to the biggest teams in world rugby, Infinity Park, and the American Raptors. Shop apparel now at O'Neill's.com. That's O-N-E-I-L-L-S.com. So, jumping into the breakdown. Got some Raptors on the move that we'll talk about first. I think the last show I did a couple weeks ago, I talked about Campbell Johnstone moving on to Dallas Jackals for MLR 2022. And he is not the only Raptor heading to Dallas. It's been announced now that Tommy Medaris and friend of the program, Sam Phillips, are also on the move down to Dallas for this next spring season. Tommy was around the program from the end of the spring. I think he showed up around May through the fall season. He was introduced to rugby at Marquette. And unfortunately, I always forget to mute my computer. Introduced to rugby at Marquette and played through the fall season. Fortunately, he had a wrist injury pretty early on in the fall, so he was in a cast for a good chunk of the season. But he did go down to Uruguay. I know he was rostered for that last match. I don't think he got a play, though. And then Sam Phillips is a true crossover athlete. Like I said, friend of the program, had a good conversation with him back in the spring. If you're interested, I recommend checking that out. But he played tight end at Louisiana College. Didn't know anything about rugby, just kind of learned about the opportunity. Towards, I think, the end of last winter, because he showed up a little bit late. But he joined the XOs and did well enough, obviously. He signed a contract with the Dallas Jackals. So congrats to those guys. Wish them the best of luck down in Dallas. We have another roster or another signing that was announced today, right before I recorded this podcast, actually. Rugby United New York, I think that's still their name. They dropped the United on the internet, but I'm not sure what that means yet. I don't know if they're going to announce a new name or something. So Rugby New York announced that they re-signed American Raptor hooker Caleb Geiger for the 2022 season. So Caleb played football and baseball at Concordia University, Nebraska, before picking up rugby with the Colorado Exos back in the spring. He's like the one local guy that played for the Exos and American Raptors was, Caleb Geiger. He's from Sedalia, went to Castleview. And if you remember, he got signed with Max Dacey back at the end of the spring, like once the XO season was done. Rooney picked him up to come in and cover the hooker spot. I don't think he didn't get a play. He was dealing with a little bit of a blood clot issue throughout the whole spring, but he got that figured out, and he was healthy, played the entire fall season, went down to Uruguay, And everything I've heard about Caleb and from what we've seen is he's just picked it up really well, runs really hard with the ball in hand. He moves really well for a guy his size. And if you go back and listen to the conversation I had with Max back in, I think it was in May, about what it was like playing in Rooney, all that good stuff. It might have been later in the summer, maybe like June or July. Anyways, just go search the podcast with Max Dacey. I think that's the second interview I did with him. Just talking about like the impression Caleb made just going to Rooney for the time he was there, those couple of weeks. Walked in, strongest guy on the team. And I think that Caleb was going to make a run at a hooker spot there in Rooney. And I wouldn't be surprised if he parlayed that into a couple invites with the national team here in the next few months or a year, because he's really good and he's really strong. And I think he's got a bright future in rugby. I'm glad that he discovered the sport and has fallen in love with it. So that's all the Raptors on the move for right now, but that is not the last Raptor that will be on the move. I know for sure there's going to be a couple more off the top of my head. I know there's going to be one down in Houston with the Sabercats. And then a lot of other guys like Christian Alvarez, I know, went back to NOLA, not like a true crossover athlete, but somebody that came in, played with the American Raptors this fall, helped kind of steady the ship in the back line back there at scrum half. And then CeCe Mahoney, I saw move on from San Diego Legion. He moved over to Houston as well. Was another guy that came in, played a couple of matches for the Raptors, provide some good, you know, veteran experience and leadership. And CeCe is kind of a crossover guy in a sense. I know he's been playing rugby for a long time, but played a little football in his day. And a nice young guy to kind of fit in with some of these guys and figure it out. So, that, like I said, there's going to be more Raptors on the move for sure. Keep an eye out for that. I will be, of course, doing my best to document all that as it comes live. So I'm sure you're paying attention to that. And you can, like I said, you keep up with all that stuff on DNVR Rugby. So we'll go ahead and move into the next piece of the breakdown. We got some USA Rugby news to talk about. I've got quite a bit, but I'm just going to talk about this little piece because I have kind of been doing some boiled down versions of the podcast this last month or so. But at Dubai Sevens return last weekend, USA men took second place. If everyone watched, they ran into the buzzsaw that is South Africa. Looks like the best South African Sevens team in a while. So that final didn't go very well for the USA men's team, but that's okay. It's a great way for them to get things started, and they seem to be playing some good rugby, so I'm excited to see how they back it all up again this weekend. Hopefully they can string a couple good performances together in these, you know, first two tournaments, first two rounds at Dubai Sevens. Start building some momentum as the seventh season, you know, really starts to get going here. And the USA women, on the other hand, took seventh place. They'll have the chance to right the ship this weekend. Things get rolling again on Peacock. Like I said, Dubai round two, so it's going to be fun to watch. I'll talk a little bit more about that and all the rugby you can watch this weekend coming up after the breakdown. But the last thing I wanted to get to in the breakdown is there was some announcement that came from USA Rugby yesterday. I was kind of surprised to see. Kind of came out of the blue for me. I didn't even know this was a possibility. I didn't know this was something that was on the table. But USA Rugby announced that they'll be sanctioning a sevens competition that isn't the Premier Rugby Sevens, which I think is kind of interesting. It's like a brand new entity called the U.S. Rugby Sevens Major League. As you all recall, Premier Rugby Sevens kicked off in the fall a couple months ago, I think in October, after a nice year of buildup. So it seemed like that kind of had some some momentum's kind of headed in the right direction. And this one kind of came out of nowhere to me. Like I said, didn't know this was even on the table. But it sounds like the inaugural event will take place in Las Vegas in October 2022. The competition will feature 12 international teams and 4 United States teams competing for a share of $1 million cash prize. Not sure how that's going to be divided up. Obviously, I'm sure that's details that are sure to come. Sounds like this is a men's competition only. There's no women's aspect of it, unlike the Premier Rugby Sevens. And there's some talk of some live gaming entertainment to take place, you know, in part with the rugby. I would assume that means some gambling, you know, since it is in Las Vegas and gambling's taken over. But the release doesn't explicitly state that. And the thing I'm probably most excited about, or I guess like interested in when I read this release and when it comes to this new competition, is that they're giving fans the opportunity to own a share of the competition when you buy a ticket via an online public offer. So that kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit. Like I said, this is one of the things that intrigues me. I was talking to one of my friends about this today because it feels very Green Bay Packers-esque. And we started talking about why, like, more teams and more organizations and I guess even more competitions, if you want to look at it that way, don't do this. Because it seems like an easy way for teams to raise money, And if you like, if we're using the Green Bay Packers as an example, right? They don't have like a true owner. Instead, it's a, you know, it's publicly owned. It's all these shareholders that own it, but they don't have any real power, right? They don't get any decision making power. I think they get access to exclusive merch that says shareholders on it. They get invited to a special meeting, and I think that's about it, right? They get invited to a shareholders dinner sort of thing. I don't think you get any decision making power. You don't get to decide who starts quarterback, or you don't get to decide on renovations and all that good stuff. But it is like a way to identify super fans, right? Like if a big fan of the Green Bay Packers or whatever, and I want a $300 piece of paper that says I'm a super fan, I own the Green Bay Packers. I think that's, you know, that's just a way to identify people and, you know, get people that really support you to spend money and use it, you know, raise money for whatever you want to do. So I think this could work in that sense, right? If we go into it and this could be a little bit different because this sevens competition hasn't said what benefits or anything will come with you owning a share of the competition. But if it was me, like I would go into this competition or going into this purchase of the share thinking, like, I'm not going to have any decision-making power, right? I'm buying this because I want this to succeed, and I like rugby, and I want this piece of paper that says, I like rugby, I supported this competition from the very beginning, I own it, quote-unquote. So I think if you go into it realizing that, I don't see anything wrong with it, and I think it is a little bit of a unique way to approach it. I don't think that's a way that rugby's kind of been approached in this country, and if that helps something turn a profit, I say go for it. I think that's a good idea. And then, like, think about it on a different level too. If I was a big time Seattle Seawolves fan, and they made it to where I could buy a share of the team, but again, I had no decision making power. Maybe get invited to a dinner or two once a year. I get to buy some merch that says, you know, Seawolves shareholder on it. I think I would do that. I think I probably would. So, I guess I'm interested to hear what people think about it. But I kind of think this is a good idea. And like I said, if it helps something turn a profit and it helps it be successful, I guess I'm all for it. So obviously with that coming up in October of 2022, we still have 10 months to see how it's going to change and all this stuff and whatever's going to happen. So it's going to be something to keep an eye on, but I'm certainly going to. And who knows, when it comes time to buy the share, I might do it. Might pull the trigger. That does it for the breakdown. So we're going to jump into all the rugby you can watch this weekend. There's quite a bit on. So we'll start with Dubai Sevens round two, like I was talking about. The USA women get back with a match against Fiji on Friday morning at 1:02 a.m. Then they play Ireland on Friday at 4:52 a.m. And then they'll play France on Saturday at 10:22 p.m. And then, I guess that would be Friday at 10:22 p.m. That does throw me off with the time change. Sorry about that. And then they close out the pool play against Great Britain on Saturday at 1:07 a.m. Then for the USA men, they play Canada on Thursday at 11:28 p.m. They play Kenya on Friday at 3:20 a.m. They play Australia on Friday at 7:08 a.m. So catch all those matches and the rest of the tournament on Peacock. Make sure that's kind of nice when these tournaments are on, because you literally just put on Peacock on your TV or your computer or whatever. Just leave it on while you're working on whatever you're doing, clean up your house. It's kind of what I do, get a chance to sit down, watch a couple of matches. I like when these tournaments are on. It makes it a little bit harder when people don't have the day off work like we did last week for Thanksgiving and all that good stuff, but find some time to watch some rugby this weekend. Let's watch some sevens. It's cool to see it back finally. Moving into the next competition, we've got Premiership Rugby. We've got Gloucester versus Bristol on Friday at 12:45 p.m. We've got London Irish versus Newcastle on Saturday at 8 a.m. Exeter versus Saracens on Saturday at 8 a.m. Northampton versus Bath on Saturday at 8 a.m. Worcester versus Wasps on Saturday at 8 a.m. And then Leicester versus Harlequins Sunday at 8 a.m. You can catch all those matches on Peacock as well. Peacock is the place to be this weekend if you're looking to watch some rugby. United Rugby Championship, we're kind of all over the board thanks to some COVID stuff. I think they're playing like 3 weeks worth of competitions in this one weekend, and then taking a couple weeks off before they get back to it on Christmas Eve. So we got Sharks versus Bulls on Friday at 10 a.m., Edinburgh versus Benetton on Friday at 12:35 p.m., Leicester versus Connacht on Friday at 12:45 p.m., Ospreys versus Ulster on Saturday at 8 a.m., Glasgow Warriors versus Dragons on Saturday at 12:35 p.m., Stormers versus Lions on Saturday at 8 a.m. You can catch all of those matches on URC TV. I saw they're running a deal right now that allows you to get URC TV for 50% off. I still think it's $70, though. I'm not entirely sure. Close out all the rugby you could watch this weekend with some Allianz Premier 15s. We've got Saracens women versus Bristol Bears women Saturday at 5:30 a.m. Wasps FC ladies versus Sale Sharks women on Saturday at 6:30 a.m. Harlequins women versus DMP Durham Sharks on Saturday at 8 a.m. Gloucester Harpury women's RFC versus Auburn Lightning on Saturday at 11:30 a.m. Worcester Warrior women versus Exeter Chiefs women on Saturday at 12:30 a.m. or p.m. Excuse me, that's another mess up on my part. Man, you take a couple weeks off from all the rugby you could watch this weekend, just short circuits your brain. If only you knew how many times I paused this to make sure I did it right. You can probably hear in the post production, whatever. You can catch all those matches on Premier15s.com. They're back in action after the fall international, so this will be a good time to jump right back in. You won't have missed anything if you took a couple of weeks off to do whatever you had to do. So did they, because they had to go play fall international. So check that out. That does it for all the rugby you could watch this weekend. Go ahead and move into the interview portion of the show. This interview with American Raptors second rower Mikey Grandy is brought to you by Guard Lab. Join the mouthguard revolution with American-made mouthguards that perform, protect, and recover. For more information, visit guardlab.com. Had a good chat with Mikey Grandy this week. Mikey's been playing rugby since May, I think, was when I started seeing him around. I played offensive line at the College of San Mateo and then the University of Texas before being medically retired because of a concussion. Mikey's now playing second row for the Raptors, kind of discovered rugby, kind of looking for things to do. He's a friend of Line Latu, came out and watched Line play against the Giltinis. Thought this kind of looked fun. He fits the brand right. Former college football player, real big body, athletic guy. So he got the offer and he moved out here, and he's been here since May, and he's loving it. He's been kind of banged up. We talked about it in the interview. He's had a shoulder. But I thought the most, I guess, interesting part of this interview is his first rugby experience came in Rugby Town Sevens. Then he was kind of hurt throughout the whole fall, so he didn't really play rugby again in a live match until Uruguay. So his two first rugby experiences have been extremely tough. He's been thrown into the fire, but he's handled it well. And he's a great guy, and I'm looking forward to watching him, you know, progress through his rugby career. I think he's going to be one of the next ones to really pop off, and looking forward to seeing it. So with that introduction, let's go ahead and kick it to my conversation with American Raptors second rower Mikey Grandy. All right, now welcome on to the show, very special guest, American Raptors second rower Mikey Grandy. Mikey, how's it going, man?
It's good. Feeling good. Happy to be here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on. I know we've been trying to pin this one down for a month now. I feel like it's been a couple weeks, so happy to knock it out. Mikey, the first question we ask everybody that comes on the show is, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from?
I'm from California. It's kind of different places around, but mostly the Bay Area, NorCal. And yeah, so basically just the Bay Area.
Nice. Yeah, I know. I was talking to you in Uruguay. I'm a fan of the Bay Area. I like that. That's probably my favorite place in California.
Yeah, it's nice.
I wanted to ask you, I see you and Lena specifically talking a lot about stuff like food can't slap. What's that about? What does that mean?
Food cannot slap. Only thing that can slap is music.
But okay.
I like just messing with Line.
Yeah.
You know.
I've seen that, but I didn't know what it meant. So I'm glad we got to.
A lot of people on the team haven't gotten it right yet, but and it's, I'm sure it's not helping with me saying messing around, but food cannot slap.
Only music.
Only music.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Mikey, can you take me a little through your football career a little bit? Like, where'd you play high school football at, and then kind of where'd you play college?
I played high school football in Palo Alto, at Palo Alto High School. I played my sophomore and junior year, and then my freshman and senior years, I was injured, so I wasn't able to play those years. And then from there on, I went to College of San Mateo, to JUCO, and then I played a season there, and then transferred to University of Texas after that.
Nice. And then were you always offensive lineman?
I was kind of a tweener, like defensive and offensive lineman in high school, but yeah, just kind of.
I mean, just because like when I looked you up, and I would never have pinned you ever as an offensive lineman. Like, you just don't have a like offensive lineman body, I guess, since I've known you. But I look you up, you look like a completely different person, man. You used to have the long hair. How much did you weigh?
The heaviest I was 330.
And so, how much you weigh right now?
About 250.
Oh my goodness, that is like a whole yeah. like person, you know?
I can feel the difference. I can definitely feel the difference.
So I know I've asked Chase this before, but like, how do you, because like, you're not naturally
that
big.
Chase was bigger than me.
I know, you're not naturally that big though, right? Like, how do you weigh that much?
I don't know. I never really, when I was my heaviest, I obviously felt heavy, but
yeah,
it just, I don't know.
Yeah, that's, I mean, how much I'm you eat sure. and like, is eating a job at that point?
At that weight, it's more of, you'll get the sweats after a good meal, type of thing, but it just, food goes down a lot smoother when you have that extra weight.
I can imagine, man. That's one of the first things when I started looking you up. I never would have pinned you as an offensive lineman. So, did you like playing line? Like, did you like playing football?
I liked O-line and D-line. I mean, I liked football as a whole.
And I can imagine, like, going to Texas, that's a big deal, right? Like, that has a few, that's, I mean, that's up there on par with, like, oh, I play shortstop for the Yankees. Like, I play football at the University of Texas,
Before even going there, I don't think I ever went to Austin. I went to Houston when I was a kid. I know that a couple times. But other than that, that was my first time going out there really for anything. So I had a good time. Austin was fun. The whole experience was fun. I learned a lot from it. And, I mean, it brought me here.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for it.
So what happened at Texas? You got a concussion and that set you back? Or how did that work out?
I had when I was a kid, I had a couple of concussions. And then I got another one during spring ball when I got there. And they were kind of hesitant about it because my impact tests weren't matching up with the new tests.
Right.
So it was just a bunch of that back and forth with that. And then it ultimately didn't end up working out. I got medically retired. And then I think I had a year and a half, maybe two, to finish my degree.
Yeah.
Over there.
You finished in Texas, though?
Yeah.
I mean, that sucks, man. What was that like when you got that news, I guess? Was it just... what do you do with yourself? You've been playing football for however long. And
at first, that's kind of how it went. I started playing basketball right after I stopped playing football.
Oh, okay.
And then that kind of helped just kind of stay in shape. But, yeah, I mean, all my friends were on the team. I lived with – my whole house was filled with football players. So it was a big shift going from being a part of it to just looking on.
For sure. What was football at Texas like? Like, the stuff that you did take part of, was it like anything you'd ever experienced before? Is it?
It's just another level over there. I'm from California, so Texas and California are very different.
States,
but Texas just takes it to another level.
What does that mean, though? Like, the workouts are just like a little bit harder?
Facility, it's more of just everything, like the experience, the facilities, the food, the workout equipment, the gym, the training room. Just, I feel like all of that is kind of elevated in Texas.
Nice. And then I guess too, how did you end up there? Like, was it always kind of, when did they kind of take interest in you? Was it in high school and then you went to, you know, San Mateo to just kind of get a few things ironed out? Or was it at San Mateo that they kind of reached out to you?
Out of high school, I was committed to San Jose State originally. Okay. And then kind of last minute, I pulled out of that to go to the junior college, College of San Mateo. And I guess it kind of worked with their spring season. It was our spring ball, and then that's when they brought all the coaches out to the JUCO. And then Texas was kind of late going in, but then when they came around, of course, it caught my eye.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to pass that up.
Yeah, right? it's hard to pass up there.
Oh, cool, man. So then what did you do? I guess I know you said you started playing basketball, but like, you finish up college and then what do you do?
I just finished college. I think I got my degree in end of July.
Oh, wow. So you just finished.
So college. I just finished. Yeah.
Nice.
But after I stopped playing, I started playing basketball. I played basketball growing up.
Yeah.
Basketball was the main sport. I started playing football my sophomore year. So I just went back to playing basketball at the gym, you know, having somewhat of a normal life. And that's kind of where I went from there.
Nice. So I know I was creeping on your Instagram a little bit. It looks like you did some martial arts stuff. Is that pretty recent? Like, how did you get into that?
That was after I stopped playing. I did a little martial arts out of high school. I had a friend that was fighting professionally at the time. So I kind of just hopped in with him and tried to get a feel for it. And then when I stopped playing at Texas, it just was something to take up the time, kind of to stay competitive at least, stay in shape. And then, I mean, I enjoyed it.
So what is that? Like, what were you, like, practicing?
I was doing mostly jiu-jitsu and then kickboxing and some boxing.
Dang, was that something that you ever thought about kind of pursuing? Or is this something to do, like, in the...
I've always kind of thought about it going through school and high school, but football in that direction was always what was pushed. But when I was doing it and consistently, it was really fun. Probably one of the funnest things I've ever done, but it's hard.
Yeah,
it is hard.
That's what I've heard, man. It's
it'll drain you out.
And then you did some competitions, or like, how does that work?
I did a jiu-jitsu competition, and then I think I was in the open division, and then a light heavyweight division, I think.
Okay.
And that went well. I won that.
Nice.
And then I did a Muay Thai kind of like exhibition thing. And I got whooped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got whooped up. But
that's all right.
It was a great experience. I think you know, you learn a lot from getting beat up.
For sure.
But
I can only imagine.
So I think it's only helped.
Yeah, right. And we gotta toughen you up, right? Yeah. For sure. So then how'd this opportunity come play for the Raptors kind of come along? Because you've been here for a good chunk of the year, right? Like I think I've been here around it since in like May or something.
Yeah, towards the end of May. So me and Lina Latu, we played at College of San Mateo together.
Yeah.
And then we had another friend. We have a couple of friends that play at Kansas. Mm-hmm. And this was in May. Me and our friend from Kansas, Adagio, we just decided to come visit Lina for a weekend. Mm-hmm. I knew he was playing rugby, but I don't think I've ever watched any games or anything before that. And then, so we got here for the weekend. And then we went to his game on the Saturday. I think it was the Guillotinis game.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a great time. I was not what I was expecting at all.
Yeah.
And then after, kind of throughout the weekend, Lina was kind of joking about coming to play. And then I never thought he was serious. And then right before we left, I asked him. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's something that could happen. Just got to get in touch with the right people. And then a couple of days later, I talked to Peter. Couple of days after that, came out for a tryout, and I've been here.
Nice, man. Had you been here before?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like
never
it
been to. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I just switched my car over to the Colorado residence.
That's a big move.
It's a big step.
So I know you said you'd never watched rugby before. Like, did you know anything about it when you came out to watch them play?
I had a couple friends in high school that played, but I never saw anything. I think I passed the ball a couple times.
Right.
Probably incorrectly, but
yeah,
nothing before that.
Yeah, so I guess you show up in May, you were training all summer. So was your first real like rugby action, was that Rugby Town Sevens?
I played in a Water Dog game in the summer. I don't know if it was, I think it might have been after.
Just like around that
rugby
same time.
Yeah, Rugby Town Sevens, that was my first.
That is like
anything to do with
truly
rugby.
Baptism by fire. Like what was that experience like?
I mean, looking back on it now, I'm happy for it.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got beat up a little bit, but it was fun.
Yeah. Because,
I mean, everything was just moving so fast, and it's night and day from practice to game speed. So it's just getting used to it.
I know.
And it didn't help. I kept getting yellow cards.
Yeah, I know. That was one thing I noticed. It was like, man, this Mikey, poor guy, keeps getting yellows, but I guess that's how you learn.
It's the only way to learn.
Yeah. I know, I was talking to Dayton about it, and he was just like, we were going in thinking that we were going to be okay, and then, I mean, you guys, caught the Ramblin' Jesters, I think, in the first game, which is, I think they won the tournament last time they played. The Ramblin' Jesters and the Team Germany, so you very literally played like two international rugby sides, and but the one thing I will say about that tournament is like you could see you guys like getting better. You could see yourself
getting
closer,
more
comfortable,
closer and closer.
You won that third match. Probably should have won that fourth one, you know. But like you could see it. It was like visual, you know, visibly you were making the steps. You were taking those steps to get better. And so that's one thing I saw. And I think, I mean, I would be interested to hear, is that something you followed?
Yeah, that first game was just like deer in the headlights.
Right.
And I think it was for everyone, not just me. So, yeah, just that fourth game you're talking about, was that the North American
Lions,
that one game we should have had for sure.
Yeah.
I remember that.
But you, like I said, you're getting better. So that was good to see.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's really, truly diving headfirst into the deep end of rugby is playing in that. You know, getting the draws that you guys did in that, that rugby town tournament.
It's harder than watching it on TV from playing it. It's
right.
I can't even explain.
I mean, in sevens especially, that's so much running. So you have to love playing 15s, right? Yeah. Like, it's got to be a little bit easier. I always like playing 15s a little bit more than sevens, honestly. Yeah. It's just
seven. I mean, 15s I enjoy just because there's so much going on. But sevens, it's quick.
Yeah.
Like, you do what you got to do and then get out.
Go to the bathroom and you miss it.
Yeah. That's 7 minutes. That feels like forever.
So then, like, what were you a little bit banged up this fall? Because I feel like I didn't see you around that much between that tournament and then even until Uruguay, right?
Yeah, it's, I had a – what did I start out with?
I feel like I remember your shoulder being banged up.
My shoulder I banged up early in the season. And then while I was healing that, I busted my knee in the weight room just – unlucky, and then I ended up having to have meniscus surgery on that, and that took me out about a little over a month, kind of leading into Uruguay, and then Uruguay I had my first games.
Nice. So again, man, I feel like you're just catching, you're jumping into rugby at these like these times that you're playing. Like, what was the first one? Los Cuervos, it's a good club, right? And then you play Uruguay. Hey, so how was Uruguay? Did you have a good time? Like,
I had a great time.
Yeah.
There was a lot of things to do. The people were nice.
Yeah.
It was just a nice change of scenery.
For sure. That's what I kept saying too. The people were very nice. The food wasn't very good, but that's okay. It can't be.
Their McDonald's was good.
The McDonald's was good. I took your guys' advice and I tried that right before I left.
Yeah. That was the highlight of it.
What's been, first, had you been out of the country before? Was that your first time?
That was my first time being out of the country.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's what I've said about rugby too, is just like, even for me, it's taken me so many different places I never would have gone otherwise. Like, I would never have ever have considered to go to Uruguay.
It's just, they kept saying, like a year ago, look back where you were.
For sure.
I would never have guessed I would have been there.
It's funny enough, I'm working on something right now. The like crossover academy, like the very first day of the camp when Lena came in and all these people, like the thing was literally one day old, was November 19th of 2020. And then on November 19th, 2021, like, you guys just played that second match against Uruguay, which is crazy to look back on. But, what has been the biggest, I guess, like the hardest thing crossing over into rugby? Like, what's been the thing that you've like kind of struggled with the most?
Just getting familiar with all the little rules and the just spacing. It's different from when you've played a sport for years and years and years. Just you don't really think about things. But coming into rugby, a new sport, I'm just, my head's running a thousand miles an hour.
Has like the no pads thing been hard for you?
No, I prefer it. I think it just gives everybody more movement, more freedom. Mm-hmm. The injuries suck, but it's just part of it.
Right. Yeah, and I can imagine too, like, I always thought, like, when I played rugby, like, coming from football, I feel like you're trying to, like, hit somebody as hard as you can all the time. And that's not necessarily the case. Like, you want to tackle hard, you want to hit hard, but you're more just trying to get them down, right, to get the ball or, like, keep the phases going. Where in football, it's like, I'm literally going to try to kill this guy.
Yeah, well, and another big thing I think is the releasing, having to release after the tackle and get right back up.
Right.
Like, you don't have time to celebrate. No. You don't have time to.
And there, I mean, you probably are well aware, is there's times where you tackle somebody and then you get up and you're like, damn, I got to tackle this guy again. And then you do it again.
It's just nonstop.
Gosh, somebody, please. Somebody come help me. Yeah.
So those penalties comes,
Thank you.
Take a deep breath.
I can imagine that's got to be kind of like the martial arts in a sense, right? Like, it's just like going.
Yeah. It's a lot of it. I feel it ties over a lot into the scrums and just like getting out of the tackles. Mm-hmm. That's a thing I think it's helped on.
Okay.
But just being more comfortable in contact.
Yeah, that makes
sense. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I guess being uncomfortable in uncomfortable positions,
yeah,
right?
That's what it is. Yeah.
If you're getting choked.
Yeah.
getting choked is probably worse than, you know, being in a scrum or something like that, but neither of them are ideal.
Yeah, there's times when I'm like Brady, he was a wrestler.
Yeah, yeah. And I always see him rolling around
when he's
with you, I think.
When he's like a, yeah. And then yeah, when he's in a ruck, like when he's counter rucking, he'll drop into a full sprawl, full extended sprawl.
Yeah.
But I just like things like that. It's hard to, like with Brady, for example, it's hard to take him down for anything, do anything. Right. Physical with
him. And that's got to be an advantage, though, even like over guys I've played rugby forever, because they might know how to counter ruck, yeah, but what he's doing isn't.
Yeah.
Like it's a counter ruck, but it's not, you know, it's not necessarily like what they would teach you to counter ruck, right?
Yeah. It's just kind of doing what you got to do to get them
that's
across.
That's interesting. I haven't looked at that across. Do you feel like you're playing basketball like more so than football when you play rugby?
Yeah. Well, rugby is just like carrying the ball. That was my first time I ever carried the ball was here.
Really?
That type of thing.
Like,
so
you didn't even get it in high school? They didn't throw no like tackle eligible or
nothing?
Come on.
Not one.
That's a bummer.
But yeah, that was just the biggest difference. Uh-huh. And then I think basketball has helped me when rugby more than football did.
Yeah.
Just coordination, footwork, that type of thing.
That's interesting because that's something I never have noticed or ever even thought about until like all you guys showed up. Because I never played basketball. I only played football, and then I played some soccer before I played football, and then I played football and rugby at the same time. And I was just like, it's pretty easy to, you know, pick out the similarities between rugby and football, but the basketball stuff, like moving without the ball, and even like everyone's ball handling skills way better than people that start usually, because you, like, that is basketball, right? Like moving without the ball and pop pass and like doing some, you know, crazy like that's basketball. So that's something I'd never noticed until this program kind of existed.
Yeah, just the ball in hand, I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah,
the majority of the people playing or on our team didn't have the ball in their hand.
Yeah, so that's a good point too. So what are you doing in the off season? I know you're sticking around, just training for next year.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be. I'll be here in Glendale just working out, trying to get in with Jake, our S&C, and just trying to get back in shape.
Yeah.
Drop some of this Thanksgiving weight.
Yeah, I think we all could do that. And then I guess the last thing I want to ask, Mike, is this just something that you can see yourself like pursuing now? Like, is this something you're taking seriously?
Yeah, I hope to make a career out of it.
Yeah.
As long as I can play, I want to play. And, yeah.
So how old are you?
23.
Oh, see, yeah.
A little bit of time.
You got all the time in the world, man. So I think I usually leave this in open. If you want to, you know, shout anything out, push socials or anything, feel free. But other than that, that's all the questions I have for you, man.
So, yeah, I'm good.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate the time. Glad we finally knocked this out.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with American Raptors second rower Mikey Grandy. Thanks, Mikey, for coming through and finally doing that interview with me. I know we've been trying to set it up for a while now. Glad to finally get it done. We're going to move into the required reading portion of the show. And the required reading portion of the show this week will actually be required viewing. I want everyone to go check out the Utah Warriors roster release show. Thought it was a different way to announce a team that some of the other teams have been doing. You know, teams kind of trickle out the roster. They announce a player here, a player there. Rooney, when they announced Caleb, they did it three at a time, but the Dallas Jackals have been rolling it out one at a time, which is kind of the standard approach. I kind of like Utah's approach of just ripping off the Band-Aid, doing like a 30-minute show. I thought the show was really well done. It looked super professional. It looked like a legit TV show. I thought all the content was good. They go through the roster step by step. You get a good, nice idea of the strengths of it that everyone brings to the table. So I thought it was a different way to do it. I thought it was really cool. Utah kind of always does stuff like that. They're always kind of, you know, doing things a little bit differently, but they always seem to knock it out of the park. So I would recommend everybody go watch that. I'll link that in the article that houses this podcast. So make sure you go check that out. Go ahead and close the show with the loop. Don't have too much. I'm still working on a fun crossover piece I've been working on since October 6th, I think. put out 3 more interview requests this week. The firing of a certain college head coach in this state today kind of put the kibosh on one of those interview requests. So got to pivot and do something else, but I'm going to do my best, put something together. It's going to be cool when it comes out, I promise, so just keep your eyes peeled for that. Make sure, I guess the best way you see that, follow along on Twitter at @DNVR_rugby, at Colton Strickler. That's how you can see all the content we've been putting out at DNVR Rugby. It's gonna be a quiet couple of months, so I'm going to get creative and look at things from a different way. I'm going to try to do my best to just keep putting stuff out there. And I appreciate everybody that's followed along so far. So that's the show this week. Thank you to everybody for listening. Hope you had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy all the matches this weekend. I'll catch you all back here next week.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.